son los Freedom Fiends, transmitiendo desde Podbay 2A a un kilómetro de altura sobre el nivel del mar en los estudios intergalácticos de La Pradera. Alteramos tu locus cerúleo, calentando tu sinapsis con rejuvenecedoras ondas de radio with a thrill dart right there. Esto calienta tu cerebro a unos sabrosos y tostaditos 365 grados, manteniendo la avalancha de estatismo fuera de tu cabeza. ¿Lo sientes? Funciona. Derek J. Freeman. Can you feel it?
Meow.
Meow. So, can
you? Hey, Hugo.
Hey there. Can you feel all this, freedom flowing through the pipes? All into going to Latin
Meow.
America?
I do. I'm feeling like a fiend kitty tonight here in Uruguay. And, you know, you do that so well, Hugo. It's almost like Spanish is your native tongue.
As if, yeah.
What's going on tonight?
Well, first of all, I'd like to remind everybody that this show is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This means everybody can use it except for governments, and we're entitled to shaming them to get what we want. So, yeah.
I'm going to shame them even if they don't use the episode.
Yeah, we're gonna. We're gonna. And this nice Saturday, and we're transmitting through the pipes and through the tubes all the way from Mexico. Myself and Derek is transmitting from Uruguay. And how do you say Uruguay, Derek?
Me? I just say Uruguay, which is like the very American way to say it.
That's
but
nice.
I guess most people here, they say Uruguay.
Uruguay.
And, I mean, Montevideo. Wait, how do you say it?
Montevideo. Yes. Which means yeah. I see the mountain in Latin.
I knew that.
Yeah.
I do see the mountain. I see all the mountains. And it's beautiful right here where I am. I've mentioned on Fiends before, but the apartment where I'm staying just for a couple of months has a view of the ocean. It has a view of the city. So you can see all these tall buildings. And then there are like small buildings. It's a real hodgepodge of economic activity. Don't tell nobody that it's so cool and exciting over here because people are going to want to come. And I want to keep it a secret.
Yeah. So you're not
so
doing
it's just
the
between you and me.
You're not doing the free state Uruguay, right?
No. Nobody move here. I'm doing the opposite. Whatever, like the free state Wyoming is going on, like 20,000 people to leave. If more people would leave, that'd be fine by me. No, actually, it's got a really good population, good feel to it. Most of the people around though are curious, like, why do you live here? Like, why would you move here? It's like they know it's the world's best kept secret too.
Yeah,
they wonder why I'm here.
You can always say you're escaping the northern winter and you're going there for the summer, and then the other way around.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, normally I just say I'm escaping the government.
Well, they have plenty there, too.
That's more understandable. Not really. I mean, not really. People say that, but I haven't experienced any government while I've been here. I've seen them on the TV sometimes when I'm working out in the gym. They've got the government on the TV, but mostly nobody cares.
Yeah, on the news.
Nobody cares about the government here.
Yeah.
They don't do anything.
We see it on the news, and, there's probably much less police, I'm guessing, if my experience in Latin America is any good.
Yeah, but they freak me out. I mean, police freak me out everywhere. You know, they've got the big suits of armor on, and I always get the impression that they're looking at me like they're going to come and talk to me or cause some problems. And, like, especially in a foreign country, like, you know, at home, I'm a little more prepared when the cops want to talk to me. I am familiar with the situation, but here I'm like, are they just going to throw me in some dungeon somewhere? I honestly thought, and this is just ridiculous, but while I was walking down the street the other day, the cops kind of swerved towards me and they like pointed, and I was wearing short shorts and I was worried, like, is this illegal here? Are my shorts too short? Are the fashion police going to come arrest me? But I was safe. It was okay. They were probably just admiring my legs.
Yeah, they're probably doing that. And some places in Latin America are very conservative and religious, and they would frown upon those things. But some other places, man, I've been to Brazil, and they're practically naked on the beach. It's rather different.
Yeah, well, Brazil actually has hot guys. That's one of my main complaints with Uruguay, is they don't have hot enough guys. That's one thing. That's one way I'm going to keep everyone away. Nobody's hot here. Everyone stay away.
Well, yeah. Yeah, that's a big turn off.
Ice cream. Yeah, you want hot people, go to Brazil.
Yeah,
they're having sex all the time. They've got the biggest growing population, I think.
Mm. Yeah, and Brazil and Argentina are really have very low populations, right? I always say in Brazil, but I meant Uruguay. It's really funny trying to say Uruguay without saying in Spanish, like some Antonio Banderas movie. Uruguay.
Well, you should just say it. Just say it as Spanish as you possibly can, because I need to learn so I don't sound like such a dumb American. I mean, everyone's been really nice, but they can tell. Like, I guess they just look at me and they know I'm not from around here. And I don't know. I want to learn pick up a little bit of Spanish. In fact, for our listeners, I tried to do the intro, and I wasn't able to do that. Should we let them know?
Well,
how we're communicating tonight.
Well, not really. I think we should stick to the Fiend phone, and it's a wonderful tool.
Well, I love Fiend phone, fiendphone.com.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the mission of Fiend phone is trying to bring professional audio to everybody. And, you know, that's one of the preferred tools for libertarians and liberty people around has been podcasting. And, well, you've done your share of it. I've done it too in Spanish and here with the Fiends podcasting and radio. And I was wondering when are we gonna win?
When are we gonna win?
Yes, we're gonna podcast our way to victory.
What are we going to win?
definitely not power.
I'm always self-conscious about it when I'm using a different microphone, so I do want to let people know, just in the interest, this is a teaching hospital, that I'm using the Blue Yeti, and Michael Fien, Freedom Fien, has condemned use of the Yeti. He drew, like, pictures of Hitler stashes on them, and they do kind of look like they have, like, Hitler haircuts when you want to put a foam ball over that. So if you're going to use Fiend phone, do yourself a favor and use a high-quality microphone. It's pretty good, but it could be better.
And it doesn't have to be an expensive mic, right?
No, it doesn't have to be expensive. In fact, the Yeti is too expensive for what it does. It's not as enough quality for the price.
Mm.
So I just wanted to let people know that. If I don't sound as good as I normally do, that is because I'm using a different microphone.
Yeah, and this is the permanent teaching hospital of the Fiends. And, well, I'm using my usual rig, so no changes here. And
so when are we going to win? I don't know. Like 5,000 podcasts in? We're on a good track.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. And, well, it's been our preferred way, and it's kind of hard. I've seen this because, you know, you don't know who you're talking to, and you don't know what's going through their minds. It sure reaches a huge audience. It's thousands of people. Comparative to if you were on a college campus and it's 30 people and you're talking to them about liberty and the market and, you know, anarchy, and you can see their faces and you can see what they're talking among themselves. And when you're doing this audio, you don't know. And I think there's advances all the time, and we've been able to see them, but, well, doing radio, it's not that easy. I
prefer it this way. I think even if I went to speak at a college, I would just put a big cardboard screen up in front of me so no one could see. And it would maybe a shield or something to protect me from the eggs and tomatoes that the Bernie Sanders supporters would throw at me. All the liberals and people who want bigger government, they would not be happy with my message of personal freedom.
Yeah, I'm sure of that, and that the same thing happens here. And I was wondering, have you done any kind of liberty outreach there?
No,
not at all. No, you're not there for doing that.
No, I'm here to start a business. I'm working on a software business with my partner.
Mm, that's cool.
And so I mean, I barely speak the language. Who am I to come preach to people, tell them how they should live their lives? I mean, I just want to live by example, do the best I can, and then if that's attractive enough and people start asking, then I'll be happy to fill them in. But I haven't done any kind of liberty outreach while I'm here, no.
Well, I have here, and I would say it's pretty much the same as everywhere else. There's people who violently, not violently, but aggressively or vehemently fight your ideas, fight the ideas of liberty, and, you know, would put straw men in front of it, like responsibility. We gotta have order. We gotta have I don't know, security or safety there. And yet, I get the impression that at some point, when it's generally recognized that liberty is the best way to go, at least, or the most moral way to go, it's suddenly gonna become obvious for everybody. And that's a frustrating thought, though it makes me happy. Both things.
Oh yeah, they'll never admit that they were wrong. Like, as soon as freedom becomes popular, it's gonna be like, oh yeah, I was always into that stuff. I love freedom. It's not like I advocated for a bigger government. No, sir, not me. Yeah, yeah. I could see that happening.
Yeah, although what do you mean coercion?
To be fair, I did. What's that?
Yeah, like, what do you mean coercion? It's always been this way. It's okay. Liberty's the way to go.
Yeah. Well, I guess a lot of that is going to have to do, I predict, with peaceful parenting. Like, one of the things that helps, I'm not trying to put you down on an analyst, what do they call it? Like, a therapist table. But I think a lot of freedom has to do with the freedom that children have growing up. Like, if you're never raised to have authoritarian parents, then getting this new set of authoritarian parents when you become an adult called the government, like, just seems too strange, foreign, that people are going to reject it. So, like, the more freedom kids have growing up, the more freedom they'll have as adults. It's just my hypothesis. I'm not entirely sure, but I think that sounds right.
Yeah, I think it does. Actually, we could talk a bit about our experiences growing up, because I feel the same way. When I grew up and I became an adult, and then I found this set of parents called the government, that did feel foreign to me. That did feel, you know, there was no way to justify. They love me, and that's why they're doing all that crazy, violent things to me. All those. What do you say?
Well, what did they do to you that was so violent?
People would say nothing, but we'll talk about that when we come back from the market.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's Antiwar.com.
And if you're speaking Spanish, you would say meow like that. And
you meow like the cat is getting hurt.
Meow, yeah.
Meow.
Not getting hurt, but maybe an indignant cat. You know, it's meow. What's that? And we're back, and it's Derek J from Uruguay, and Hugo here, myself from Mexico City, going straight to you through the radio. And we were talking before the going to the market. We want to do a little bit of explanation with the technical setup, and it's Derek J is in Uruguay, so we're not using the wonderful tool called FiendPhone right now. And if you hear any kind of dropouts or something like that, it's Skype's fault.
Yeah, I felt like I was lying to the audience before. I wanted to be clear that I'm using Skype because I'm super lame and I didn't bring my studio with me when I came to Uruguay. And so I'm just not prepared to do a full fiend phone. But I just had to get on here and talk with Hugo about freedom because I love it so much. So thanks for bearing with me. And now I've gotten that off my chest. I hopefully I'll get a libertarian indulgence from Michael Fien.
Let's hope we can buy that. And you might get on the floppy disk. I think you already are on the floppy disk of redemption, right?
No, not yet.
Not yet. Okay. Okay, I will help you set FiendPhone up on your Mac using a virtual machine. I don't know. We can figure it out. Let's try to have that for next time. And you were asking me before we went to the break if I grew up.
Show me on the doll where the government touched you.
Well, it's touched me all places, but fortunately, after I grew up, which is the right time where you have the right defenses for recognizing aggression, recognizing that it's, you know, that thing they're doing to you, it's not love, it's not protection. And, I grew up in, my childhood was pretty standard, I would say, but I went to a Montessori school.
Well, I want to know how were you raised to treat, like, bullies?
Well, that was kind of a problem because I didn't get much education in that sense. So I tried to go around the thing. I wasn't confrontational when I was a boy, and I get bullied a great deal. But especially later on.
Do you think that's bad?
I think it's bad that I would not understand or have the necessary tools to try to turn it around. That's it.
I don't know. Because I'm sort of like, I used to be really confrontational towards bullies because I felt like powerful as a kid and able to stand up to them. But like the government's one bully that's just, it's nearly impossible to stand up to the government with any kind of reality. So like skirting around the bully or avoiding the bully altogether seems like a good strategy, don't you think?
Well, I think you do have a point. I have never thought about it in that way. Of course, the government is the big bully that if you're trying to go against it, you're pretty much suicidal. So, yeah. If your strategy is to confront bullies, you cannot do that with government. We've seen that happen over and over again with there's very famous examples in American history. There's Waco and there's Ruby Ridge and there's more recently the Ohio thing. It's never going to work, at least until, and I'm going to put big air quotes here, we win. That is, people will recognize it as aggression. Until then, we're pretty much alone. And you were saying this, and I think it's you have a really good point. It's the best strategy you can learn towards bullies and how to avoid them and how to not get into a fight.
Yeah. I want to know what you mean by win. Like, what does that look like to you? Do you have a lib pair of Hugo's future?
I do.
You imagine yourself as like a cyborg or something?
I do like the idea of transhumanism and cyborg bodies, but I don't think I'm going to be able to see that. I'm
not with that attitude.
Well, no, I don't think I'm going to see that in the next, I don't know, 20, 40 years. But my idea of winning is, you know, having not winning a political election or getting the right people in charge. That would be pointless to me. But the idea of having more people around who are willing to recognize aggression for what it is, and we can get to a point where less and less public crime is recognized as something good or moral, like government, and recognized as, you know, regular theft, regular rape, regular kidnapping, and that's my future. We can talk more when we get back, and Derek J will tell me more about his idea of Lipper.
Well, I think peaceful parenting is the only way to get there.
People do.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
In Survivor Max 2, School Bites, Maximus scavenged through a wasteland swarming with the undead. Desperate to find the medicine he needs, he discovers a community of survivors at his former school. Has he finally found the safe haven he's been looking for, or will he discover that school bites? Look for Survivor Max on Facebook, read reviews on Amazon, and read Chapter 1 at SurvivorMax.com.
Meow, meow.
Meow, meow.
Meow, 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 Like that meowing you're doing right now, Derek.
Oh, yeah, I'm a professional. I've been at this a while.
Sure. That's true. We haven't done a show
got
in
nothing
like,
on my meowing.
Like a year and a half, right? We haven't done a show.
Yeah, I know. I don't like, scheduling and stuff. Usually, you know.
Yeah.
Certain days and times work better for me, and it works out this way. But I'm glad we get to chat. Especially while we're both like near in the same place. I think I'm closer to you now than I normally am in the Shire.
I'm not sure. Maybe Uruguay's really far away from here.
Different continents.
Well, yes. And I don't know how long a flight is from here to there. But you were telling me...
That doesn't matter.
Yeah, that doesn't matter. You were telling me, on the internet it's milliseconds away. So you were telling me... what your idea of Lipper was, or I was asking you rather.
Yeah, well, first of all, I wanted to say, like, I don't know what it's going to be. I've got lots of visions of the future, but I know the way to get there, I think it's peaceful parenting more than anything. Like, technology and peaceful parenting are both going to pave the way for the free future that I want to see, because I know I've been trying this for a while, just talking with regular people, like, horizontally, trying to spread liberty, not very effective in my experience. Like, you know, you can share some basic concepts with people about, you own yourself, you own your body, so therefore you have a right to keep what you produce. And that really jives with some people. And maybe they've never heard that before, never been exposed to it. They're going to be awakened to liberty just with a couple of words and explanations. But I think those people are more or less born. Like, if people are listening to us right now and really digging what we're putting down, like, they're born that way. You're born hardwired for freedom, I think. It's because of your, like, early upbringing or something that you saw and experienced that gave you an education in liberty. And for the rest of the folks who want to control you and control your life, those types of people are born too. And so that's why I think that, like, peaceful parenting, meaning like parents who don't hit their kids and use reason and words to motivate and, I don't know what the word is, persuade their kids to act in certain ways rather than to beat them into submission and act like authoritarian governments, but on a smaller scale. I think those are really the hope for the future. Because, if, like I said earlier, if kids are raised without this language of violence, then when they encounter it later in their lives, they're going to be like, what is this? You cops are horrible. Look at you arresting some guy for selling a cigarette. How dare you? That's not appropriate at all. And not that I would hope that they would intervene, because, like we said, like getting in between a bully and his victim, not very effective. But if they were able to disempower the teeth of the state, just sort of make the state toothless through years and generations of recognizing authoritarian violence and oppression for what it is, then the future would just be absent that. Like, people would just look at government action in the same way that people look at spousal abuse. Be like, oh, well,
yeah,
these people don't want to be in this relationship. They have every right to secede from it, you know? But, like, you bring up secession today, and most people are going to lose their minds.
Yeah.
So imagine I want to get to the point where secession is as common as, like, leaving an abusive spouse.
Yeah, imagine it's going to be like talking about divorce 150 years ago. It was, you know, unspeakable. It was, it brought up a lot of questions and how are things going to work, and we're just going to let this happen to everybody who wants to dissolve their marriage. And right now it's thought of as something regrettable sometimes, but necessary at other times, and everybody has the right to do it, which is... well, pretty much judgment apart, the idea that no one has to enter or remain in a relationship that they want to be in. That would be the idea. And sometimes people say after this understanding is in a lot of people, is it possible to go back and, you know, just regress into government. And I'm thinking, when people say that, I always think, do you think we're going to ever go back to chattel slavery? And I think the answer is no.
I really don't know the answer to that question. Why can't we go back to chattel slavery? Why do you think that's impossible?
Well, it's not impossible. I just think it's very unlikely because people have already recognized, not in a practical way, who's going to pick the cotton, but in a really moral way that some things are wrong and people won't talk about those, even though they might think there might be some people around, I don't know, maybe presidential candidates that would think in their... you know, their inner voice talking about slavery, and it would be a good idea. They wouldn't dare say it out in public.
I think that's the crux of it, is like there are some ideas that are so self-evident, like, oh, you don't put people in chains and make them your animals that do your work for you. Like, that's pretty self-evident by now. And another self-evident truth that's not yet there, it's not to the same degree, is that you have a right to leave relationships, or you have a right to leave organizations that you entered. Like, if you enter voluntarily, you have a right to leave voluntarily. And if you're subjected to a relationship involuntarily, that's immoral. So, like, that's how I would categorize the state. It's sort of like an arranged marriage, you know, before birth with this abusive husband or wife. And I want to leave, you know, and I don't have that right now. But hopefully, yes, in the future, people will see the relationships are exactly the same or analogous. Like, oh, Derek doesn't want to be in a relationship with El Presidente. Okay, he should be free to leave. He should be free to not be a part of that. And not leave, like, physically leave. That's another thing. It's like, I guess the analogy sort of breaks down there, because you leave the house when you have an abusive spouse, but... like, you might not always want to leave a country, leave the geography of a country just to break off your relationship with the country. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you might want to live in a place but not have an abusive relationship with the government.
I find it, you know, more like, let's say you're in a marriage and you both own a company. Maybe you're getting divorced, but it doesn't mean that the party that wants to get divorced has to give you all the stocks or the shares for the business. It's just, you know, what's yours is yours, and you don't have to physically be removed. I'm using a term that many close border people use. You don't have to be physically removed in order to stop the relationship. It's goes both ways. I would say that.
Worms. You know, and I would want to hope that the people of the future would have enough respect that they could be neighbors with people who might want a government. Like, just because I don't want a government doesn't mean I wouldn't live next door and around people who do. Maybe they've chosen to have a government. Just leave me out of it. That's all I ask. You know, don't make me play your game.
Yeah, in a way, we're not anti-government. We just want to be left alone. And yeah, exactly. I don't want to mess up your scheme. Just I want to have
just
the option
not thing.
To be in it. Yeah, I wanted to do my thing. And but we were mentioning people parenting before, and I felt like something that has to be said is very important. We're not talking about peaceful parenting by libertarians. That's not the idea. You don't have to be taught the you know, some Rothbard in the crib. It's just the fact that you're not being aggressed upon.
Yeah, I would say reading Rothbard in the crib would be a real turnoff, probably, to the kid down the road.
I would consider that. Cool, I consider that aggression. What? Maybe I would consider that aggression.
Yeah. No, Rothbard's a pleasure to read. That's not aggression. But there's a cool group of folks over in North Carolina in Asheville who, you know, they don't stake their claim on, like, they want freedom. They want freedom. They've got a long-term view of a freedom future, but they don't bog down their community with ideology of, you know, writings from Bastiat and Lysander Spooner, though they probably enjoy that stuff as well. They're only focused on peaceful parenting, meaning they don't hit their kids. They use reason and evidence when they make claims. They use persuasion instead of the rod, you know. And I believe that will lead to a more free future because the kids won't recognize authority from people who try and hit them with sticks when they're older.
Yeah, like that doesn't make them right at all. Well, you know, the authority figure, if they're using violence, you don't have to get confused and thinking they're right because of that. It's actually the other way around. The presence of the violence will generally mean that people have run out of arguments, even with a small child.
Yeah.
Yeah. And hey, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was still wondering where on the doll the government touched you.
Well, in my creativity, at least, I remember the proto-government that I had at school at some point. I was in first year in grammar school, elementary school. I don't know how you call it, and we don't know because we're in Mexico and Uruguay right now. And I was doing some business out in the when we had our I don't know, recreation time or
in elementary school.
Yeah, I was doing some business.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
you said it was a Montessori school.
No, not this one. This one was when the government touched me, and it was first year elementary school. It was a huge Catholic school, and this was in Venezuela, actually. And
was it a government anti-concentration camp?
Yeah, sort of. You know, all schools are in some way or another public schools as far as they have to do what the government instructs them. And and what I was doing was I figured out there were some very long lines whenever people had to buy candy and the children had to buy candy. And what I did was I instead of getting distracted and going around running and playing, I went straight for the line where the children would buy the candy, and I would buy a bunch of candy. And then I would see them later on at the end of the line and sell them the candy back at some, well, not sell them back, sell them the candy at a profit. You know, but that didn't end well. We figured that.
So you were helping kids get candy sooner for more money?
Yeah.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
This is The Fiends, this is Hugo, and who's there on the other side?
This is Derek J, yo. And we don't need any other animals. Cats are enough. Cats are it.
Yeah, I like cats. I get two of them. You didn't take your cat to Uruguay. Do you have any cats?
No, I don't have a cat, but I want a Maine Coon. They're huge. Have you ever seen those?
No,
they're the biggest cat there is. Are you a cat lady?
Well, I used to be allergic, and you know, I adopted a little kitty, and I wasn't able to let go, and my allergies are gone, so I am now. I have two cats.
Wait a minute. Cats in a second. You were talking about candy. Priorities here.
Yeah.
So you were selling candy to the other kids in line at your old Catholic school, and in this way, they could get candy faster, but for a higher price.
Yeah, not even only faster, but maybe get candy at all, because, you know, the playtime is is over at some point, and they have to get back. So if they haven't been able to buy their candy by the end of playtime, they go back into the classroom without any candy. So I was a major price gouger, if there's such a word. And there were some snitches in the line, and they would go to the. At some point, they went to the principal or to my teacher. I don't remember who was it, and accused me of profiteering. After that, I was told I wasn't able, I wasn't allowed to profit at school, and my enterprise was soon, expropriated. Well, not really. They let me keep my candy, but they wouldn't let me do that anymore. My license for selling candy in Catholic school was revoked. But there's, that's a sad story. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty sad. And that's why I was saying the government touched me at that time in my, creativity parts and, entrepreneurship. I was abused at that time, and I eventually recovered. But talking about peaceful parenting, it was a good experience for me in the sense that they went to my mother and they wanted to, also scold me in front of her for profiteering and for making money at school. This was supposed to be a very bad thing. And she supported me 100%, even in front of the other adults and teachers and everything. She was saying, he's doing the effort. He's seen an opportunity. He's going to the front of the line. Why would he sell the candy at the same price they sell on the line if he's done the effort? And well, my mother did support me at that time, and I think that made a difference. You would say that, right?
Yeah, I would say that's huge. I mean, ideally, I would think that parents wouldn't even, send their kids to a place where they're abused in that way. It's one of the tough things about, we make the joke, where on the doll did the government touch you? But it's hard to point to a place, because it's not often physical abuse. It's usually just stifling creativity in those ways. Like, think of all the business ideas that people have throughout the day that they could just start up in no time if there weren't all these licenses and requirements. And, often they won't go to jail. They'll probably face fines or be told they have to go to court and apologize, say they're sorry. Basically the equivalent of going to the principal's office. But it's hard to point out exactly where the government is intruding in things, but it's also everywhere. Their fingers are invading every space of the world right now, it seems, except for capitalism. That's where they it's a no-go zone. They try and work their way in, but creative minds always find a way around them.
Yeah,
like you did.
I did find a way, and a couple months later, I was moving for the first time to Mexico, and they took me out of that Catholic school, and they put me in a Montessori school, which I don't know if the listeners have heard of that method, and it comes from Italy.
I've heard of it, but what is it?
Well, it is. It's not that I'm some kind of expert, but I was. I studied under that method for a number of years, and the idea is, there's no big hierarchies in school. And you learn by playing and by doing. And they let you do your thing. You also play and work with children in different school years, which is very good for both for realizing you have the ability to help and direct younger children, and for being mentored by older children. All those really good things that it should be obvious. Wouldn't you say that? Should be obvious that those things are good. And the, prison yard environment of current schools is not that good.
Well, thank goodness for your mama. That she had your back. I used to do lemonade stands, and here's a quick one. I was selling my stuff, stuff that I owned back when I was five. And the pot came and stuff would come down.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Holy Caballeros! This is your trigger warning. the Freedom Fiends are now broadcasting through the Libertarian Re-Education Center's low orbit ion cannon high atop financial plaza on the artificial satellite LibAir 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. Please insert the purple wire into your cortex now. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows for reuse by anyone except government agents. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
It is inserted right now, and I can feel the freedom flowing.
Can you feel it?
Yeah.
Is it healing your fiend bone?
It is healing my fiend bone. My fiend bone is alive and well. And, so many memories from my childhood are coming through.
Oh, really? Did I lay you down on the therapist table?
Yeah, you did. You did, and it's working right now. I'm figuring out stuff.
Well, open up to me. You know, I think this could help a lot of people, just thinking about, like, their childhood and where their parents were a little authoritarian with them. Like, it helped me understand a little bit where I came from in supporting the government when I did support it. Like, I was an environmentalist type, and I was like, you know, yeah, I believe in personal freedom, and people should be free to do business and do whatever they want, except we need the government to take over all the land and tell people what they can and can't do with it. It's like, well, you know, you can't really have freedom if the government owns everything, can you?
You were a single issue on that thing, right?
Kind of. I mean, yeah, I would say so. I was, like, really into civil liberties and stuff, but I was a big supporter of, like, Greenpeace. I loved how bad they were. You know, they did direct action campaigns where they would, like, drop banners and do photo ops, and they make companies look bad. Like, I really dig that. I think that would kind of exist in LibPair, too. Like, say a company was doing something bad. Like, let's just take Hewlett-Packard was one of the companies that we picked on while I worked there. And they were trashing a lot of their computers and stuff, like, just laying them all over the ground. Now, of course, this wouldn't happen absent governments, because they would have to own the property where they're dumping this stuff. But in this case, it was like government-owned land, so tragedy of the commons, they just dumped their trash wherever they wanted. This was bad, and if it were happening in Freedom World, a campaign to publicize this and let people know about it would be effective. You know, there was like a boycott where people were like, hey, we don't like what they're doing with the trash, so don't buy their products. And, you know, companies listen to the bottom line. When their customers say, we don't want you doing something and we're not going to spend money with you anymore, they change pretty quick. They're a lot more responsive to customer demand than governments.
Yeah, well,
like, gosh, the people in Flint are drinking poison.
Well, in LibPair, there's no EPA or no three letter agencies to, you know, go harass companies. And when they actually do things that are wrong or evil things, or, you know, just plain annoying things, the market does punish those companies, and as you were saying, there would be a Greenpeace or something like that, and something to that effect in LibPair, in Libertarian Paradise, which is our short word for that.
Yeah, that's where we're headed. We're on a rocket ship toward LibPair right now. This podcast is helping us get there.
Sure. Yeah, the podcast, you know, and everybody else who's listening on the radio, that probably they have never heard these ideas before. And, you know, who's this guy from Mexico and the other gringo from Uruguay talking about?
Gringo.
You know,
can you say that word on the radio?
Yeah, I think you can. I think you can. It's really not a slur at all here in Mexico, at least.
Well, I take it kind of offensive. I mean, does it just mean white person? Because I'm really white.
It means American, and in some places, for example, in Argentina and Uruguay, they would also use it for all Europeans in general. You know, the French are also gringos. And
hey, well, we're all Americans. I don't use that term anymore because, you know, North and South America. I'm in South America right now. I'm an American.
Talking, yeah, you are, and we at least you and me are, you and I are right now. Americans, yeah, in the whole continent, people really take issue to that, to calling to Americans calling themselves American in everywhere else but the United States of America.
Well, I don't like it either. It's very U.S. centric, and like, further, I don't want to be considered a citizen of anywhere. I call them submitizens, right? Because it's like the government owns you. They claim you. I don't want to be claimed by any government. You know, I'd like to be a it's not a good term for it, but like a citizen of the world, you know? Or a citizen of the internet. That's better. I'm a citizen of the internet. No one owns that.
Yeah, no, nobody owns that. And you can conduct your transactions in Bitcoin. And you did for a while there, right?
All the time. I still use Bitcoin. I use Bitcoin to get my plane tickets to fly down here and get my first hotel room. I use Bitcoin for everything. I have a Bitcoin MasterCard. You can load it up with Bitcoin and spend it like a MasterCard. Anywhere in the world, I can pump out Uruguayan pesos from an ATM here or U.S. dollars. It's crazy. I mean, we live in freedom. If you don't get one of these things, you're selling yourself short. I don't know what you're doing, waiting around using U.S. dollars all the time.
Can you get U.S. Bitcoin. Dollars from ATMs in Uruguay?
Yeah, I can. Oh, I can pay for stuff with them.
Yeah, that's some freedom. That's some freedom right there. Because I don't think you can get foreign currency from an ATM in the U.S. Right?
No. And you know what's even better? There's a great site called Local Bitcoins. It's been around for a long time. Like, you know, long time in Bitcoin years is like 5 years. And you can meet up with almost anyone in the world, any day, and you can exchange Bitcoin for a local currency. So, you know, you can do that here. You can do that in Switzerland or wherever you find yourself.
You know,
there's a great story of a guy. He lost his wallet on a plane on his way to Europe, and he was going to be screwed. I mean, if you don't have your wallet, you don't have your identification, you don't have your money to get to your hotel, you don't have anything. But he did have his phone on him, and he was able to organize a meetup with someone right at the airport. So as soon as he landed, he was able to exchange some Bitcoin for local currency there.
Yeah, that's one example of the market at work. And, you know, people have – and right now I remember a photo you posted at some point, and I had already seen this. But, you know, there's economists who talk about how – the minimum wage has pushed people who pump gas out of the market, and it's now being done through self-service. But in Uruguay, actual ANCAPs pump your gas, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, kind of. I mean, the company's called ANCAP, and from what I understand, they lost $900 million last year as a company, despite having a monopoly privilege in the country. So they're the only ones. This is from what I understand. I could be wrong on this, but they're the only ones who can sell gasoline in the whole state or whole country. And one of the other weird things is they don't even post prices. Like, people ask me, well, how much is gas down there? I don't even know, because they don't have like the prices. In capitalism land, you know, you've got competition. You could, if you don't like the price of gas somewhere, you can drive a little further down the road and pick it up somewhere else. But you know, here in Uruguay, you just got to stop and get gas wherever you can, and the price is kind of a mystery. I guess people pump it for you. I don't know. I don't drive. But, yeah, it does seem strange that they would lose so much money, except when you find out that they're, like, pretty much government-run, and Amtrak and the post office and all the other government-run things lose money everywhere.
There's a lot of those oil companies in Latin America that are state-owned, and also the water and the electricity in some places. Here in Mexico, it's the same thing with the with oil and gasoline. There's just the one company, and the price is the same all over. All over the country. You go to any city, it's the same price for gas, even though probably it took a different amount of money to take the gas from wherever it was to the pumps, to the actual pumps where they're selling it to you. But that's how the state-owned companies work outside of the market, until they lose hundreds of millions of dollars.
Hugo, I got to tell you, it tripped me out so hard, because ANCAP, for those who don't know, there's like also it's an abbreviation for anarcho-capitalist, and the colors of an anarcho-capitalist, the flag is black and yellow, and the colors for ANCAP, this Uruguayan oil company, is also black and yellow. And I'm thinking to myself, like, what is this that they've got like a pretty much socialist communist country? They've got the anarcho-capitalist logo all over the place. But yeah, that turned me out.
That would be a great joke if you were in charge of the oil company and you were an undercover anarcho-capitalist. You would say that as a dog whistle for all the anarchists out there.
They would hate me. It would actually make a profit.
Yeah.
And Michael adjusted the photo, that the one that you posted. I should post it to maybe this episode of Freedom Fiends, so that people can find it at freedomfiends.com. But it's a picture of a cat, and the cat is licking me.
And
totally consensually, of course.
We can fight back. We can set a small gas station that is called like a state-owned communism, and it's actually free market. We can do it the other way around.
No, you can't.
Yeah, well.
No, you're not allowed to compete. That's the whole point of communism.
Well, they have said it, right? They've done it before. It's called Che Guevara shirts.
I don't follow.
No, really, really market people producing and selling communist propaganda for a profit. That's
right, but you can't compete with the oil company here. That's my point.
I see.
Like actually socialist.
Yeah, probably somewhere else. Yeah. Probably in the U.S. There was a big uproar here in Mexico because the Mexican oil company was opened up a station there in Texas, the Pemex, which is the state-owned oil company here in Mexico, and they were selling gas about half the price they were doing here in Mexico, and people were really outraged by that. And I was able to explain to a couple of people, you know, they can do that over there because they don't have a monopoly. So they have to go with market prices. And there's...
Yeah, they actually have to give you a good price. Go figure. Supply and demand. Wow. You know, we would get so close to LibPair so much sooner if we could spread supply and demand, the idea of supply and demand. Always just comes down to that. Like, even freedom comes down to supply and demand.
Yeah, just that simple idea. If everybody would understand it, and that's the beginning of every failed idea. If everybody would adopt this, but I think in this case it works. If people would understand that, you know, you have something people want it, and then there's a price for me there. That's a really simple idea. What do you say?
No, it's not. It's not an idea. It's a law. I mean, like it's like gravity. It's not like I have to enforce the gravity on everybody.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, you're right.
Supply and demand just exists. People need to know about it.
Let's go to the market where there's supply and demand at all times.
Meow!
Meow!
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
For some reason in this country, and in a bunch of lesser world, it's okay to just judge.
Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. Computer programmer Derek Slopey and I have created FiendPhone. I'm using FiendPhone right now to talk with and record one of my co-hosts in real time. Take it, Davi.
Hey, this is Davi Barker, and I'm 1,000 miles away from Michael, but we sound like we're in the same room.
We sure do, Davi. So, Davi, please tell the nice people more about FiendPhone.
FiendPhone is free, no-gov software that opens up a global world of possibilities for collaborative, high-quality, remote voice media production, and I'm digging it.
People can try FiendPhone right now at FiendPhone.com, but we're also raising money to vastly improve FiendPhone and vastly improve independent talk media worldwide.
So go to FiendPhone.com to help out. Who will build the audio roads? We will, with your help.
That's FiendPhone.com, FiendPhone.com, Foxtrot, Echo, November, Phone.com.
FiendPhone, I never knew remote audio could be this good.
So chiropractic cracks to strengthen your spine against the roving wiretaps of tyranny. And we're back to talk more, not about cats or ANCAPs, but I want to get back to, will people know if they are free, when they are free, and free from what? All of these questions and more. So I was thinking about this before our discussion today, Hugo. And I was thinking, first my initial thought was like, of course, people aren't going to know that they're free. When you are free, it's just you're unencumbered, like children, right? They run free in a yard, and they don't think about cages. They don't even think about being free of anything because they've already got like utopia. They can run around and frolic in the flowers, and life is great. things are provided for them. But then I was talking about it with a friend of mine, and he was like, if they don't have a knowledge of history, like if there are people in the future who are so uber free beyond what we can imagine, jetpacks and cyborgs and traveling to other planets, communicating with alien races, and they don't know history, they don't know that governments once existed, what's to keep them from falling back into a situation where they've got government or like falling for the same tricks? And I don't really have a good answer to that, except for my, you know, magic, like, wave the problems away, peaceful parenting solution. But I don't know if that really sums it all up. Or, you know, there could be kids who are raised peacefully who just aren't aware that governments are sneaky, and they will sneakily acquire consent from people, and then, I guess, I don't know,
well,
turn on them?
I do
make
have
them feel like you need them.
I do have an idea of how that goes, because I felt the same thing happen. What you're talking about in a much smaller scale happening in Venezuela, where I was born, and it's on now. Right now, it's on full-fledged communism, pretty much. And I was wondering, you know, if what's the deal there? And there comes a guy at some point that tells them, you know, you're actually very rich, but somebody's taking that away from you, and I'm gonna give all that wealth back to you, which is what happens with Hugo Chavez, my, you know, same name as me, but I'm trying to become the more recognized of the two. It's probably gonna take me a lifetime, and yeah, that guy when he
I already think of you when I hear Hugo instead, so you're winning with me.
Okay, yeah, that former president of Venezuela who was really, really awful and threw the country into communism. And,
well, he's a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink.
Yeah, just like everybody else, but yeah, but he had a really, really particularly foul odor to his feet. And yeah, the question would be...
yeah, but people sorry to interrupt, but people can't be fooled into being like, oh, your wealth is being siphoned away from you by the rich people if everyone's wealthy. Which, like, I feel like they will be wealthy.
That's my point. Yeah, exactly. That's my point. When we're having interplanetary communication and you know, teleportation and all kinds of robot cyber things on us, and are able to, you know, work far more productively than we are now, and everybody's really, really rich, it's going to be rather hard to sell those ideas that come hand in hand with poverty, with really, you know, disabling poverty, which is what happened there, and which is what happens in so many places. But you have to do, if there's no coercion, I would say most places would become richer and richer. I don't know if you'd agree with that.
Well, yeah, and in addition to that, about poverty, I really think that the poor, the so-called, like that's in air quotes, poor of the future, won't even work. Like, they won't do any jobs. They'll only play and go have fun, and everything will be taken care of for them, really. And that might sound like a ridiculous fantasy, but think about the poor people you know today. They hate working. They're not really good at it. They don't put in their best effort. And really, all they want to go do and have is have fun. And then there are, like, capitalists and more intelligent people who want to work hard. And the animating competition of participating in the marketplace, like, is its own reward for these people. Like, there will be people who work because they want to, and they'll be so efficient at it that they won't have to work very often or very much at all. So I think there's going to be so much wealth that they will be able to support tons of other people, like, not really, not like welfare, but like voluntarily, like with charity.
Making stuff
barely gonna have to work at all.
Yeah, making stuff so much cheaper than, you know, it only takes a couple of pennies to just go through your basic needs, right?
Yeah, you'll really only want, you'll work if you want to.
Worms to that.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself. A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean. Available on Amazon. Your house is your property.
And we're back. The Fiends are back. This is Hugo, and there's Derek J right there. And we've been talking about wealth and how the future might look like. And I wanted to talk about the evidence that there is that we're becoming richer by the day. And I mean the royal we, humanity. We are becoming richer by the day, especially in places where there's freedom. And I think there's evidence to that idea. There used to be a time when if you didn't work 12 hours a day just to grow some food, you'd starve. And right now we are in a much better situation where there's people who can afford to, you know, just do some crafts and sell something on the side and still be able to live somewhere and have fun and play and, have a decent living, even if they don't have the huge plasma TV or the LCD, the huge LCD or a expensive car. But those are luxuries. Even so, they can eat. Have you lived that?
Yeah. Yeah, I've lived it already. Like, it might have sounded like a pie in the sky dream of the future. Oh, like, poor people won't have to work and people could just be as lazy as they want. But, like, that's kind of true now. People, like, poor people, from the statistics I've read, work the that shouldn't be surprising, right? Like, you work the least, you get the least money. But, like, also, they are just lazy and they don't want to work. And, like, I can't blame them. If you make enough money with $8 an hour, working 10 hours a week, and that's enough for you and your needs and you're satisfied, why should you work more than that? Like, if I can think of good reasons that I would want to work more than that, but if that satisfies you, do you. So I felt like this is the case for me when I was a 17-year-old high school student. I worked as a janitor, and I worked at some local schools in the Philadelphia area, just cleaning floors and cleaning desks and taking out trash and breaking down boxes. And, like, because of my station in life, because of where I was and the things that I needed at the time, I didn't need to make very much money, and I didn't work that much. And even later on, when I moved into other jobs, like, you could always work more, right? And at some point, you decide to stop. And why is that? Because the work that you're doing is so efficient that you decide, I'm going to pay myself with laziness time. And so I just see that time expanding and expanding into the future, where people are going to pay themselves more and more with laziness time and less with productive economic activity. And that the capitalists will continue to be productive, because that's just what they do. That's just what they want to do.
Yes, they will continue to make your life and your food and services so much cheaper, right? The next computer will be cheaper, and then you'll be able to afford at least the calories. I think we're at this point right now. You can get all the calories you need. Maybe you don't get a high quality food, but at some point it's gonna go further, and you're gonna be able to
it's
get.
It's gonna be a pill, man. Gonna be a pill.
Yeah, it's going to be a pill. Right now, there's already a shake that you can get, and you can get all your nutrition, albeit in a very boring way. But I wouldn't like a pill. I would like some veggies and maybe a steak or something like that. I'd much rather have that. And I will work to pay that. That's to afford that. That's the thing. You can always also adjust what your expenses are. Maybe you decide, I'm going to work to have my children have all they need, and you decide to have children, or you decide not to have children, and then you're going to have to work less. You don't have to have children. You have to drive a car. You don't have to live somewhere where it's more expensive. People take all kinds of make all kinds of decisions with that. And the poor in rich areas are really very rich compared to the poor in the past.
Well, and another thing about LibPair and this libertarian paradise of the future that we envision, I think it's going to be a lot easier to, like, people, I don't want to sound like a leftist who's like, oh, there won't be any class divisions. Like, of course there will be, but I think they're going to be smaller and less significant, right? Because if there's no like licensing overlord saying like, oh, if you want to be a plumber, you got to take X, Y, and Z class and then get pay for this little license certificate, and then you can only practice in these certain areas. You know, basically what licensing is tying a dog down to a stick and saying you can only practice in these areas. You can't travel and be free and do your skill everywhere. So like people think that it's the government doing them a favor, but it's really like tying them down. Anyway, if the government's not doing that, then you can practice your skill as much as you want, wherever you want. You can have access to education. So if you want to become an electrician or some specialized skill person, like you could just do that.
Yes, let me bring...
And you'll be able to make more money.
Yeah, sure. Let me bring this back to Uruguay and Mexico. And probably you've noticed that there's not so much of that in Uruguay. Licensing, or maybe you haven't, but...
No, I have noticed that, but it's not good in and of itself. But there needs to be more capitalism here, because what I've noticed is you need to depend on word of mouth to find a good electrician or a good plumber,
sure,
or a good carpenter or whatever. And they don't have like a Google Maps or a Google rating or an Angie's list or something in this area. Like the lack of licensing paired with an information system that tells you who's good, so that the customers can like rate their service providers and tell you, like, you know, give some market feedback. The markets are kind of broken here. Just the lack of government is not good enough.
Yeah, you gotta
there needs to also be markets.
You gotta have capitalism, which is the accumulation of those means. You gotta have more and more sophisticated tools to get the job done. It's the same thing that, probably if you hired an electrician there, they would have less tools and, you know, probably they wouldn't have any power tools. And that does make a difference, of course. The good thing, or the thing we're expecting, is that as these tools and these professions become, these jobs become more sophisticated, the government would come in and put restrictions, which is what happens in Europe and the US, where there's more tools and there's better equipment, but then there's also more government.
But it's not because the government mandates that electricians have certain power tools on them. You know, that's mm-hmm. just like customers are going to want that. That's how they make money.
Yeah, sure, but. After they acquire those tools, then the government steps in and says, you know, makes up some stupid story or some stupid reason to have more control. That's the thing. I would compare it as feeding a beast. If you have a lion, you have a lot of meat, the lion's only gonna grow stronger and more heavy. There has to be a lion there. That's the thing.
Well, speaking of that, I think some people believe that there has to be a lion, but then also others know that there doesn't have to be a lion, but they're too afraid of it. And this is one thing that I think is like maybe the most important factor in achieving a free society is courage. People need to be not afraid. I don't know exactly where that stems from or how to cultivate courage, but that's one thing that a free society requires, is people need to have the courage to live free. And right now, there aren't enough people who are willing.
Well, you said it before.
You know, we may recognize the lion, but we're not willing to tangle with him.
Well, you said it before. It's peaceful parenting. I would concur with that. And together with some wealth and some capacity, some power to do your own life. We were talking before about this, and the original question was, how do we know that things are not going to regress, that just any politician in the future, in the year, in the 28th century, is just going to come in and promise a bunch of stuff and get voters to reimpose or, well, actually get voters.
I know, but I think we're missing a step, though. I mean, we're jumping right from tyranny to freedom land without hitting the important part that happens in between. Like, what does it look like when this divorce happens? And can there be a peaceful, amicable divorce with governments? When people are raised peacefully, you know, parented peacefully, and everyone just says, hey, it turns out that lion that we all thought we needed, yeah, we don't need him, but he's also going to turn on us if we turn on him. So, like, what do people do then? Like, what just, do you have any idea what that looks like, Hugo?
Well, if we're going to still follow with the metaphor, we just set the lion free on some forest or some savanna there and let it do its stuff. Just, you know, stop feeding the lion and
we should send the government to Somalia
and hope for the best. Yeah. Yeah, I've heard they need some of that there. People keep telling me to go there and that they should have a government in Somalia. But, well, I think the solution is, as you were saying before, peaceful parenting. And there will be some point.
But then what?
In a divorce.
Then what?
Think of a divorce. And if people are slowly moving their stuff out of the house, maybe there wouldn't have to be such a big fight. It's doing.
They just leave without saying anything. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
They just take a mistress. They take another government.
Exactly.
And they're like, I'm just gonna hang out with this other government for a little while, and then the other government gets lonely and starts noticing that you're not coming home as much anymore.
Yes.
You're taking long nights out at the office, hanging out with foreign governments.
Yeah, with all the governments, younger governments. Yeah. To follow the metaphor, yeah, and you know, suddenly there's just one toothbrush there, and suddenly there's none. well, I don't think the divorce thing works.
No, it does. The metaphor follows because Vermin Supreme will be president by that point, and there will be a mandatory toothbrushing law. Have you heard about this guy? Do you know about Vermin Supreme, Hugo?
I know he exists, but you know there is actually a toothbrush law with him. There is.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
Is there that proposal?
Yeah, to fix America's moral and oral decay, he mandates that people must brush their teeth. It's the law.
It's the law. Yeah. Yeah, I think that could work, if only to have people notice how silly things laws are. Like the toothbrush law is just like the seatbelt law in many states. I don't know. I know I wouldn't say your place of origin, but where your heart is, which is the Shire probably, has no seatbelt laws, right?
Yeah, no seatbelt laws. That gets talked about all the time, Hugo. But you know what I think is even cooler? That there's no requirement for car insurance. Like, that blows people's minds. In most places throughout the U.S., it's required that you have car insurance, and they think that if it weren't required, then people wouldn't get it, and it would be a disaster. There would be accidents happening all the time. But that's not what happens.
Yes.
In fact, most people get car insurance anyway in New Hampshire.
They do.
And it's cheaper.
And actually, they drive with their tops on, right? Even though it's not required either.
Yeah, and they actually have the safest roads in the country.
Worms.
Freedom works.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Meow.
Thing about this show, Hugo, is that no government agents are listening.
They're not.
It's
there.
Just you, me, and the free people out there.
They're probably allergic to it.
Well, regardless, no, they're not allergic. They're dying for it. They want it. They want Freedom Fiends so bad, but they're not allowed to listen to it. We have the BIPCOT no gov license, and that blocks them.
Probably works, you know. They listen, yeah. And then they have to stop being government workers.
Right. Well, yeah. Well, also, they're just so interested in following laws. Governments are famous for following their own laws to the letter. So,
right.
You know, whenever they hear about a law, like the BIPCOT no-gov license, they respect it. They do all laws.
Yeah.
And licenses.
Their own laws.
So we got to wrap up redemption in the final act. And let's tie it up with a pretty freedom bow. Starting with, will people in the future, because we are going to be free. We're getting there. We're on the rocket ship to freedom. Will we in the future, first of all, remember or hear about people who were not free? And will we know, will we have a concept of what freedom is in the future? Isn't that what our initial question was? Like, will people know they're free?
Yes, it was. And
I think they have to. They're going to have to. I think that's what our answer is. They're going to have to know they're free because, like, freedom requires a freedom from something or a freedom of something. So it's a freedom from oppression. And if they aren't aware of oppression, then they won't really have a concept of freedom. So they have to. Someone along the line is going to be curious enough to ask about history. There's not going to be like state mandated government schools and anti-concentration camps indoctrinating people about false versions of history. But kids will be curious. They'll ask about, "Mommy, Grandpa, what was it like back when you had governments?
We used to transmit the fiends everywhere, and people wouldn't listen." We'll be cranky old man by then.
They did listen. They loved it. They ate it up with a spoon, couldn't get enough. And they talked. We told stories about how we sold candy and then got hit for it. And that doesn't happen anymore. Kids all have their own businesses. Kids sell candy. Kids own candy stores.
Yes,
in
they will.
The pair of the future.
Ever since they're, you know, from the time they're 6 years old, they will be selling candy and it will be okay. And, you know, yeah. people will, there will still be some coercion, private coercion. There will be criminals at some point. Very few and very, very seldom people will commit a real crime against people or property. And, you know, they will be fully able to recognize what coercion is. And they will just not be able to imagine that happening all the time everywhere. So it's just going to be like, you know, looking at famine and starvation in the past for us.
Yeah, that's something we haven't talked about too, which I feel like is a topic for a whole nother episode. But it's like, what if it were possible to buy insurance against crime the same way it's possible to buy insurance against car accidents or fires in your home? I mean, these are things that happen. They're rare, but they happen. Crime, same thing. What if it were possible to buy insurance against that? And what would those companies look like? And what would they do to affect the community and the world to actually profit from selling you insurance against crime?
They will wonder how come we didn't have those in the past.
Yeah, it's going to be so ancient. The way I look at my grandmother, like how she didn't have a phone in the house.
Yeah.
And like here we are using a fiend phone and wires across the internet, satellites and transmitting live radio.
Yeah, exactly.
There's
exactly.
No way she could even imagine what that is. And we can't imagine what it's going to be like to have these insurance protectors against crime and all the things that will replace and improve upon the things that the state once did.
The future does look good, right? We're on a rocket ship, as you were saying before, and things are gonna get good, and they're gonna get good fast.
I can feel it. They're getting good.
Yeah.
Right now.
I can feel it right now.
It's happening.
It is happening. And not through some politician.
Cue the Ron Paul meme.
Yeah. Not through some politician, but through everybody just realizing they can be free. They can sell candy to their children. Not hitting people.
Yeah. Do something capitalist today. That's the most seditious thing you could do.
Sure. Even in any place where you are, maybe you're in Latin America, you are in the U.S., you can do that. And you have to ask for permission. Thank you, Derek J.
Yeah, thank you, Hugo. Yeah! Blast off, you are right.